With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Our democracy is hanging by a thread, but we know it's not about just winning and losing each battle. It's about persistence and building resilience.
That's why we're launching the Practivist Pod, the practice of activism made practical.
If you're looking for ways to get engaged or just for ways to stay sane, we want to help you navigate what comes next.
It's an exciting collaboration with political dynamo Jess Craven, author of the Chop Wood, Carry Water newsletter.
And grassroots activist Steve Pearson, host of the How We Win podcast.
Every week on the Practivist Pod, we're going to have important conversations with changemakers, give you practical ways to make an impact, have some fun, and inspire hope.
This is more than a podcast. It's a place for our community to grow our practice of advocacy for justice, equity, and progress.
Action is the best antidote for anxiety. So subscribe to the Practivist Pod today.
Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyal from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-Roe anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, I'm going to talk with Wajahat Ali. He's the editor of The Left Hook Substack and the co-host of Democracy-ish podcast. So excited to talk to him. We've got a lot to cover, but before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Wajahat Ali. Welcome to the show, Wajahat.
Hello, hello, Kimberly Johnson. Pleasure finally talking to you.
I'm so excited. You don't even know. I do. I just absolutely adore you. I love your voice. I love everything you say, even though sometimes you scare me because you're telling the truth. So,
I just finished this webinar where they invited a couple of quote unquote experts, and I was a last second hire. So I don't think I was an expert, but you know, people doing the good work, a lot of attorneys who are fighting for our civil liberties and our rights. One of the attorneys who represents Mahmoud Khalil, you know, the pro-Palestinian yes. activist who is detained without due process. And they had me go first. And I asked Nora, well, can I just be blunt? And she goes, yeah, I guess. Yeah, be bluntish. And I was like, yeah, to quote the late, great Bernie Mac, I'm not here for any foolishness. I got to keep it real. We're dealing yeah. with a right-wing authoritarian yeah. regime, and they're racist and white supremacists, and they're playing for all the marbles. And she's like, all right, well, I guess just take it away. you know, I got to keep it real because people need to be informed, but we could also still have a little bit of a sense of humor while we're fighting fascism because mm-hmm. I don't need martyrs, Kimberly. I need joyful warriors. And, you know, if you're in loving relationships, you got kids, you're active in your community. Oftentimes what happens when there's people like us who sound the alarm, right? You get really bitter, start chain smoking, become alcoholic, you die. Mm-hmm. And I want to create a different model, especially for our kids and young people, that, you know, there's community and joy and hope, even as you are fighting a fascist regime and have your eyes wide open to the horrors that we are witnessing every day.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because, and my listeners know, but like for 6 weeks after the election, I had a rock in my stomach. Fortunately, I didn't go to the drinking and smoking side, but I certainly kind of became lethargic. And, you know, I put on weight that I had already lost, and I'm so angry about that. So I'm right back to trying to lose weight. But ultimately, I'm glad you mentioned hope, and I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, there obviously it's a fascist regime, and it's not. I keep saying that we're being run by fascists, but it's not over yet. So it hasn't cemented. There is still a lot of resistance, obviously, of which you are part of. And yeah, it's really scary. And I feel like this is the first time, for various reasons, that I am finally starting to feel a little bit more. I mean, I've had that fight in me, but I'm kind of ready to get back in the game more like I used to be, because it's just been so literally so uncomfortable. And, you know, but I follow everything. There are people that I follow. You're one of them. And like I said, sometimes you say it like it is, and it needs to be said like it is. But, you know, it's upsetting. It's just very upsetting.
You know, and I think it's good to be upset, right?
Yeah,
Because
it
it
is.
means that you're aware and that you're alive and you're not apathetic and complacent. But then if we live in perpetual doom, and rage and anger, that's not sustainable, right? So that's why I always recommend, you know, especially the advice I was giving since the first Trump administration, which then led to a once in a lifetime pandemic that literally kept us at home and killed over 1 million Americans, is you have to find these small moments of joy and you have to have you know, catharsis or release, or else you die. And then if you die, then you're no good to us, because we need to build a majority to combat this right-wing authoritarian minority that is playing for all the marbles, right? So I think it's important to have these moments every single day with, whether it's your wife or your kids or gardening or just watching TV, eating potato chips, exercising, to take small breaks, because otherwise, like you said, like you end up gaining unhealthy weight and get depressed, and you're like, ah, I'm middle-aged and now I have to lose this weight again. Metabolism. Where are you, metabolism?
Exactly. No shit. Okay. By the way, there is swearing on this podcast too. So I want to ask you about last night. We got the story came down. Trump is investigating Biden and his aides. And I just want you to talk about this, what you know about it. And then on top of it, I want you to talk about how you think this feathers out into, you know, people like you, people like Allison Gill, people like Bob Seska, Stephanie Miller, who have these louder voices on the internet. So start with the Biden, and then kind of we'll go into him going after people who are resisting.
Well, first and foremost, I want to remind everyone that Donald Trump on Saturday night, the president of the United States of America, instead of just, I don't know, relaxing with his family, but of course he doesn't because he's a freak,
No.
and he has allegedly cheated on every single one of his wives. Instead of post on Truth Social, does he post something kind, something nice, something affirming? No, he posts a QAnon conspiracy about Joe Biden being a clone. So, oh, MAGA's been angry at a clone this whole time. Interesting. And then yesterday, and that was, by the way, I predicted that that would be gone from the headline news by Monday, and it was gone because we've normalized this. QAnon, folks, is that batshit conspiracy theory that helped in part radicalize Ashley Babbitt, to and other violent insurrectionists to beat up cops, and commit crimes and overthrow a free and fair election. I mean, that's how fringe it was. And in the leading up to the 2020 election, our FBI said that it had the potential of radicalizing people. Well, the FBI was correct. So that's the type of conspiracy that Donald Trump decided to post from Truth Social, completely forgotten by Monday because we've normalized his violence and conspiracies and you know, hateful talk. And then voila, come Wednesday, because he has vindictiveness and a cruelty and a fascist regime that is you know, fueled by retribution and anger. And now he wants an investigation. He signed another executive order. I don't know if he read this one, because as we've seen videos, he doesn't even read the executive orders that he signs. Auto pen, auto pen. What? Too soon? And now he wants to do an investigation into the cover-up of Democrats apparently hiding Joe Biden's health. Look, I know Republicans are desperate because 4 months into the administration, Donald Trump is underwater across the board, even on immigration. He has the lowest favorability rating of any president at this time in his presidency compared to Donald Trump. Things are going bad. And I think people are waking up and realizing we didn't vote for this. Tourism has gone down. Airplanes are going down. The Moody has downgraded our credit rating, right? Measles are going up. Joblessness is going up. Consumer confidence is going down. We're getting more and more isolated. So they're like, okay, what can we do? Distraction. Joe Biden, Joe Biden. And I want to tell people, news alert, Joe Biden is no longer president. This 82-year-old man with stage four cancer. You have all your critiques of Joe Biden. I have my critiques of Joe Biden, but you're the president. Sadly, the base that follows right-wing media, it's a cult, Kimberly. We've lost them. So for the cult, this is catnip. But for the majority of us, this reeks of desperation. But it's also scary because it shows you what happens when you have a fascist or wannabe fascist regime that has all the power and abuses that power without any guardrails.
Yes. So what do you think this means for people like you? For people who, I mean, whether it's Lawrence O'Donnell, you, Alison Gill, like I mentioned, do you fear that this is going to start, investigations are going to be opening up on journalists?
That was always the fear. Donald Trump has attacked press and journalists for 10 years. He has used Stalin's framing that the press is, quote, the enemy of the people. His followers have tried to kill journalists. Caesar Sayoc is in jail because he made pipe bombs that he sent to CNN, right? This is a person who began his career, political career, by encouraging protesters to beat up. Excuse me, encouraging his fans to beat up protesters. He said, "I'd pay your legal fees." Remember that? This is a person who praises whenever his base tries to beat up folks. Even in the 2024 election, remember that one guy who tried to climb up and beat up a CNN
Oh,
a
yeah, right.
reporter, and he applauded it, right? People already forget that because we've normalized this. So this is a person who has encouraged violence against the press. This is a person who is suing 60 Minutes and specifically CBS Paramount for $20 billion because he didn't like the way they edited a Kamala Harris segment, right? And by using the levers of the presidency to intimidate, he wants them all to bend the knee. And what we've seen is that Paramount, that is the parent company of CBS, is bending the knee, right? They forced out the head of CBS News because she refused to change the editorial guidance. The head of 60 Minutes, Bill Owens, who was there forever, resigned in protest because they're trying to interfere because 60 Minutes, excuse me, Paramount and other corporate entities, all they care about is the bottom line, and they want a merger to go through, right? And you see him pressure law firms and these corporate law firms, right? These powerful law firms, instead of fighting, what do? They bent the knee. But the good news, Kimberly, is there is a resistance brewing, right? What people want is a fight. And so you're seeing the majority step up where the institutions have failed, where the institutions and the billionaires and the newspapers and corporate media and law firms have bent the knee. People say, F you. And you saw the Tesla takedown. And the Tesla takedown protests have helped tank the stock of Tesla, which forced Elon Musk to temporarily, step aside from the White House. And I don't know if you've been following news as of this week, especially today. There's a fight brewing between Elon and Trump. I love it. And then I don't know if you saw that Wall Street Journal article that came out 2 days ago. Now corporations are moving away from some of these law firms because they're like, oh, you're toxic and that's hurting our brand. So we've seen, what I predicted was, I said by April, you'll see the cracks. And I thought by July, not that things will get better. Of course not. We're stuck for a while. But I thought th this honeymoon will end and people will be like, oh shit. And you're now seeing it in May, June, and I think by July. And all the people who made the short-term bet, Jeff Bezos, corporate law firms, Washington Post, New York Times, Jake Tapper, I think you're seeing the backlash. Tarjay. Right, going up against, but look, it's another one. Target, Walmart, they're like, oh, you want us to scrub DI? Yes, whatever you say. Costco and a few others said, nah, who has benefited financially, Kimberly? Yeah, buy-ins, because people are like, all right, we'll do buyout from Target and Walmart, we'll do buy-ins to Costco.
Yeah. And that's really good to see. I remember Rachel Maddow was talking a couple of weeks ago, and she said that there is this really strong resistance against Trump, and she does believe the resistance is going to win, providing it re it remains nonviolent. Now, of
Yeah.
course, we all have to be concerned with whatever bad actors might be thrown into the mix, so that, it gives Donald Trump an excuse to declare martial law or whatever he wants to do. I do want to say there's a graphic going around talking about, and I think Alison Gill talked about this too, but sitting down if you're in a protest and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, just to sit down to show the authorities and everybody else that you're not a part of the violence. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it is heartening to see. It is heartening to see what's happening because, as you mentioned, there are, a lot of either companies or law firms or, whether it's Joe and Mika or Jake Tapper kissing his butt. That's upsetting. But I think, yeah, the people are waking up. And then, okay, let me ask you though about there's the whole independent. Okay, in 2020, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, the reason Joe Biden won with such a huge margin is because there were the Never Trumpers, and then there was the, right-leaning independents that were just sick and tired of Joe Biden. And granted, he was the fatherly figure that we still live in a patriarchy and people feel comfortable with the older fatherly figure, so there was that in play. But I wanted to ask you that, we've got this whole debate going if we have elections in 2026. So number one, do you think that we're going to be able to have some fair elections? Or, are there going to be enough people that it's too big to rig? And then do you think that, okay, well, why don't you answer that first and then I'll get to that. I always do that. I ask two
I
questions.
think we should be very vigilant to the reality that Republicans will use any illegal and or potentially violent means to quote unquote rig the election. I'll give you an example. I don't know, the 2020 violent insurrection. Trying to if you will capsize USPS. The fact that the Supreme Court announced a couple of days ago that they would look into this case brought by Republicans to see if ballots that are not received by a certain date, even though they're postmarked, can be rejected. Now, why oh why would anyone want to reject a ballot, even if it's postmarked, right, before the deadline? Well, because to try to rig elections, right? So that means, folks, right? Suppose you do mail-in ballots, right? And suppose, oh, I don't know, you send it in a week before. But suppose, oh, let's just say the USPS now is completely like gutted, and what took 2 days now takes 9 days. And suppose they receive your ballot that you did your job, you postmarked it, you sent it a week before the deadline, they receive it 2 days after the deadline. And now the Supreme Court is looking at this case brought by Republican activists. Do we have to accept these? Maybe we could just reject them. Who does it help? Does that help democracy?
Right,
No,
no.
right? Misinformation, disinformation, lies. Elon Musk spent $20 million in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. He still lost, right? And then my fear has always been, and Kimberly, and people always say I'm crazy, I'm hyperbolic, I suffer from TDS. I was one of the few who said that Donald Trump will not leave peacefully in 2020. All these centrists and all these establishment journalists were like, "You are lost your mind." Well, I give you January 6th. I then also said Donald Trump is going to try to run for a third term. Oh, you've lost your mind. He has to leave. And I keep telling people, you're suffering from a failure of imagination. Nothing has to happen, right? It's all about power. And who cares about the guardrails? Who cares about the Constitution? Donald Trump has told you he doesn't care about the Constitution. It's all about power and what Donald Trump could get away with. And voila, now they're selling 2028 hats. Then he went all in, and now he's saying, nah, I won't do it. Do you trust him? And then I said, if he gets really desperate, if things get really bad, this is a man, folks, who's committed probably a lot of crimes, and he wants to stay in power until he dies. And my fear is that he will stay in office until he dies, or try to stay in office until he dies. And my fear, Kimberly, is martial law. And what do I mean by that? This is a man who, right before he was elected in 2024, invoked Hitler yet again and said that he's open to unleashing the National Guard and military against the quote enemy from within, US citizens. It is the first time any president or presidential candidate from any party has ever threatened to unleash the National Guard and military on the US people. So suppose things get really bad. You know what I would do if I was Donald Trump? And I hate giving him ideas. Folks, it's an invasion. It's the Antifa and Venezuelan gangs and Muslim terrorists. And as the commander in chief, the power invested in me, I have to declare martial law, and I have to crack down on this threat to protect our national security, and I have to suspend elections. But don't worry, they'll come back when things are safe. Am I crazy?
No, of course not. I mean that's terrifying to think about that. And you know, I mean I just in my imagination I can hear my MAGA relative justifying it all. So it's scary. And I you know, I mean I don't think this is anything that we're unless it happens, it's gonna happen. I mean, we don't know. We just don't know. But do I think you have a point? Of course. Do I think that can happen? Absolutely. And
And
it's
I think we have to be
terrifying.
prepared. I think, again, that failure of imagination. Oh, that could never happen that Donald Trump wins. He won. Oh, a violent insurrection could never happen. It happened. Oh, Donald Trump promoting QAnon conspiracies. Nah, it did. It takes me back from like th a couple years ago when I was a columnist at Daily Beast. I remember the first column that I wrote, I had a weekly column, I believe, was about Marjorie Taylor Greene. And what I said was Marjorie Taylor Greene, and this was when everyone's like, she's a freak. She's an extremist. Oh, my God. You know, I said that she represents the present and future of the Republican Party. And again, I remember all these experts who've been wrong said, no, you're TDS, Donald Trump lost, Biden won, you'll see there'll be a return to the normal. And now Marjorie Taylor Greene is seen as what? Completely normalized. She is as mainstream as apple pie when it comes to the Republican Party.
It's so depressing. All right. I want to switch gears and ask you on your Substack, The Left Hook, you had a conversation. I don't know who the guy was with you were with, but it was say goodbye to your data and privacy.
Yeah,
And I
Matt
hope I
Binder.
Oh, Mike Bender. I hope I pronounced this correctly. Say hello, is it to Palantir?
Palantir.
Palantir and the mass surveillance state. So, South African billionaire Peter Thiel's company, Palantir, has received millions from the Trump administration to compile data on Americans, which will be abused for mass surveillance and profit. So, can you just talk about that? Because that's not fun.
No, that's not fun. So if you're a nerd and you know Palantir, if you ever read Lord of the Rings, like Palantir, isn't that that magical orb that evil wizard Saruman used to spy on Middle Earth? Yes. So Peter Thiel, who was raised in part in South Africa, and is part of what I, you know, the PayPal broligarchy, him, David Sachs, Elon Musk, white nationalist billionaire, helped create this company in 2003 during the war on terror. And essentially, they're war profiteers, but through data. And they just got a near $800 billion contract with the US government because Donald Trump signed an executive order that he wants to centralize all the information and create a centralized database for all the agencies. Well, why should that terrify you? Well, if you have all your information and all of our private data in one centralized database, especially with this administration that copy-paste military plans, does that make you feel safe, Kimberly? Yeah, it could be hacked, foreign governments. Also, if they're scooping up and hoovering all your data, your financial data, your medical data, who you vote for, what we've seen in the past in authoritarian regimes is that they have used databases to go after their enemies. They have used databases to go after, well, I don't know, the people who are seen as non-productive or against the state. And what we've already seen is Palantir's information is going to help ICE. ICE is now showing up where? Everywhere. Factories, schools, literally picking up people who are legally here without due process and shipping them off to friggin' foreign gulags, right? So Palantir has made record profits. It seeks to make record profits this year. The person who said, hey, you should pick Palantir to do data collecting was Elon Musk. And Palantir has already shown you how they have no morals and where the company's, if you will, proclivities towards fascism lie because they have proudly, Kimberly, and openly supported Netanyahu and the genocidal campaign in the past year and a half in Israel. And they have, quote unquote, helped Israel with a data analysis, right? To do what? Essentially commit war crimes against Palestinians. And Alex Karp, who's the CEO of Palantir, has openly and proudly celebrated his role in helping Israel, right? So now you're going to have Palantir hoovering up all this data, giving this data to what I think you and I agree is a wannabe fascist authoritarian right-wing regime who wants to create a centralized database, right? So say hello to the surveillance state, if God forbid they're successful, and which is why I think this is a big story that can literally get a lot of folks, including libertarians and MAGA, out in the streets, because well, part of MAGA is what? No deep state, no government intrusion, right? And now the Trump administration is saying, we're going to spy on you and have all your data.
But I mean, are they even going to understand? Are they even going to, I mean, like, for instance, my MAGA relative, who I like to just talk about it on occasion, said that she doesn't like the news. So, like news that's not either Newsmax or I don't even think she listens to Fox. I think she only listens to Newsmax. But I think it was my mother asked her about just the local news. She goes, "Oh, I don't like that." So it wasn't, she said she disagreed with it and she didn't like it. So, I mean, are MAGA even going to understand what's happening or accept the fact that they're being surveilled?
It's a very good question. I don't know. What I said, I think it was 8 years ago, I was on MSNBC. Chris Hayes had invited me, and I remember it kind of gave him pause because he was thinking, oh, enough Americans would, turn. And I said, I think we have come to peace with the fact that we've lost about a third of Americans in our lifetime. And the only thing that can shift a few of these MAGA voters and family members that you have that now rely on One American News Network and disinformation and propaganda is immense pain and suffering and or death. And even with immense pain and suffering, I think you'll move 5%. And people say, well, show me the proof. I give you every single poll essentially that's come out in the past 10 years that shows about 30% of the voters are immovable. I give you COVID, where literally as people were dying, they were dying before the vaccine. They said, I don't believe in COVID. And then they died. You're part of the deep state. Blah. I won't take the vaccine because I don't want Bill Gates to control my thoughts. Blah. And then they died, right? So they're literally going to die. And I do not think anything will save them. I think what can move a few of them, and a few is all you need, especially to move the political needle, is immense pain. And this is where I'll give people some hope, is you and I remember the war on terror. And you and I remember how the country lost its damn mind. And you and I remember how this country voted for George W. Bush. And you and I remember how everyone said, rah, 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 except me. I was
Me
in the
neither.
streets. We were on the right side of history, and everything that we warned about came to fruition. And it was the world's worst, I told you so, because we get no flowers. We were mocked then and mocked now, even though we were trying to protect America and, human beings and generations and soldiers and civil liberties. But it doesn't matter. It's like the world's worst, I told you so. But it took about 6 years of pain, Kimberly, right? Remember that? The failure of the war on terror, the lies, Americans coming home in body bags, generations rising up all across the Middle East hating us, of the failure of these economic policies that led to the 2006 economic crisis, foreclosures, Hurricane Katrina. And you remember around 2007, people were like, you know what? F this. I'm done. Let's get this black Muslim named Hussein. And people forget. I think the only reason why Barack Hussein Obama, in addition to his charisma, the story, the narrative, right, was because people were like, I'm done. I'll take a black man. I'll take a Muslim. I don't care. Give me something different. So I think we're going to witness, it's going to take immense pain, immense pain. And you're already seeing a small shift, but people who think it's going to be like a huge rallying cry and everyone's going to get better by 2026. No, I think this is a 4 to 8 year immense, excruciating project of masochism. And as you know, your family members, and you know, as in America, we're very stubborn, very arrogant, very self-destructive. They would rather die than admit that they were wrong.
I know. It's so true. I know you are on a tight schedule. I have one more question. Do you have
Thanks.
some? Okay, perfect. Because I wanted to just hit on the fact that the media is splintered and divided now. We don't have, back in the day when I was a kid, there was just kind of everybody could count on, let's say, ABC Nightly News or something like that. And we all just accepted that that's where we could get our facts. Now it's just we've got MSNBC, we've got CNN, we've got, Newsmax. And now Substack is, I think it exploded after the election, just like with Blue Sky. And you know, we're seeing people like Katie Fang move over with Midas Touch. We see you over on Substack. We see Jim Acosta and Dan Rather. So where do you think this is going? Because I mean, one of my fears, and I've talked about this with my boyfriend, it's like, you know, it's great that we have this independent media. And as long as this is like on the road, in my opinion, on the road to a place where we get a better, I don't even know what you would call it, news industry, whatever you would call it to get our news, I don't know that what's happening right now is the best for the country because it is divided and it's like no MAGAs are listening to you. And, you know, you're not listening to OAN. So where do you think this is going with what's happening with legacy media and all of it?
It's the Wild Wild West. That's the truth of it. And I'm glad you mentioned that because it's good, bad, and ugly. And I've said that as well. The good is people are shifting away from corporate media. And corporate media, even though there's very good people who work there, you know, I used to be a contributing op-ed writer for New York Times for 5 years. I had a contract with CNN for a year. I know people there who are trying to do really good work. And I think you need these institutions because these institutions have not just the money and the resources to do breaking stories, but they also have a reputation, right? And you would hope that there's some institutions that people could trust and rally around so that we can have those water cooler conversations. There are no water cooler conversations in America anymore. The only water cooler conversation you can have is around sports because it's live. That's it. Other than that, and even around sports, you can't. But other than that, people live in their own realities. They choose their facts, right? They feel their truth, right? It's all about vibes. And that is very dangerous for a country of 330 million people where a country cannot agree on basic facts, right? And that's why I think we've lost about 30% of this country. We've lost them. They live on Earth 3. And everyone being siloed and picking and choosing when they can watch what they want to watch, right? I think is also problematic for a cohesive society, right? What's true? Who do you trust? And so we're in the wild, wild west right now, Kimberly. That's the sad part. And the negative aspect of Substack and others is when you lack the resources, you know, fact checking, editorial guidance, you know, breaking news. It's everyone's in their little bubble. So if we can connect these bubbles into a community, into a robust opposition, right? Into, if you will, a left or center left news gathering information community that can combat the domination by the right wing, then we're on to something. But even then, right, I think the reality is for our lifetime, it's going to be fractured, splintered. People are going to be in their own ecosystems. And if we can get the 70%, Kimberly, around some shared basic facts, right? That to me is enough of a victory. I do not think in my lifetime I'll win over the 30. That doesn't mean I won't try. But the analogy I give is the following, and this is how I bring it together, is the caravan has to move forward. I can't wait for every racist to stop being a racist. I can't wait for every fascist to stop being a fascist. I just can't. Right? I'm a brown skinned man. I'm a Muslim. I got kids with brown skin with multisyllabic names. So the majority in the caravan has to move forward, but the door will always be open. It's up to you to jump on. And if you're not willing to jump on and still you're spouting QAnon and then you believe that Donald Trump won the 2020 election, that he lost, well, good night and good luck. Onto you, your way, onto me, mine. And that's the best that we can do, I think.
I agree. Well, you know, it's always wonderful to, I mean, I haven't talked to you before, but it's always wonderful hearing anything you have to say. So before I let you go, will you please let everyone know where they can find you on the various places on the internet?
I write for The Left Hook. It's theLeftHook.substack.com. There's no paywalls because I'm a terrible capitalist. Everything is for free, but if you can pay, when you can pay, whatever you can pay, please do. I'm like Blanche DuBois. I depend on the kindness of strangers, and I co-host Democracy-ish with Danielle Moody every Monday and Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time on her YouTube channel, Danielle Moody on YouTube.
Awesome. And you're everywhere. You know, you're on Blue Sky, you're on Twitter, right? So just follow him. I'm sure everybody who's listening to the show already follows you, but just in case, thank you so much, Wajahat. It was awesome talking to you.
Thank you. It was great.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyal from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-pro anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool, and let's kick it.